22 years ago today, I walked into the Church of the Open Door Auditorium in Los Angeles on Hope Street, and I asked, how can a man be called to preach? How can Jesus be the Son of God? How can Jesus give the blind sight? How can a man be born again? How can I be convinced, honestly, that I don't have to be a Christian? How, and I couldn't answer these questions. I was in a whirl. I was unsatisfied. I didn't know where to turn. And I wandered into this church 22 years ago today and had my questions answered. Oh, the heart peace, the mental peace, when one gets on something solid. So I thought I'd talk to you today on the how of things. Turning in my Bible this week, I saw some questions. I saw a man that was essential, Romans 10:14. How shall I hear without a preacher? A preacher is essential. You know, the last thing in all the world that I wanted to be was a preacher. Oh, how I used to pity the preacher in my hometown, walking around so sedate and exacting and careful and going to afternoon teas and ladies' aid societies, and oh boy, I did pity him. Yet I'm a preacher today. I'd rather be a preacher than a prince. But I looked up that Greek word, and that word preacher means an announcer. And that's what a preacher is. He's an announcer, announcing the glad tidings. Our business is to announce the good news of salvation to a dying world, to shout it out, to make it clear and plain that Christ died for our sins, that now in Christ there's hope for sinful man. Then yesterday I was reading my Bible and I saw a knowledge that was unconventional. John 7:15, it says, the Jews marvel, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? How come? He didn't go to Harvard or Yale or Oxford. How come he has so much knowledge and speaks so well? He has no letters after his name. He's not a Ph.D. He's not a doctor of letters. But he does speak with wisdom, and that bothered them. His words were with power. His knowledge amazed and convinced them that they were wrong, and that hurt. He disrupted their system, and they got mad. He was so unconventional. In our modern lingo, the conversation would have gone, does he speak with wisdom? And how? And the Jews knew that. He was convincing. Then, too, there was a question that was tricky, John 9:10. They asked the blind man whom Jesus had healed, how were thine eyes open? They knew already. They had asked him time and time again, dozens of times. But this was a more influential committee, one to bring pressure on the poor fellow for going through the testing that he went through. And slyly and subtly the spokesman said, now come. How were thine eyes open? And they wanted him to lie. And he was too much of a testimony to the truth that Jesus was the Son of God, and they'd do anything to shut him up. They had his parents scared. They threatened to excommunicate them. So sheepishly they said, we don't know, sir. Ask our son. He's of age. Ask him. I think they knew all right, but they were afraid that they'd be put out of the church. But the boy wasn't. He had enough spine and enough spunk, and he spoke up, and he knew a mighty one had performed a miracle in his heart and in his eyes and in his very being and his life. And then as they put him through the third degree, asking over and over, exasperated, he yelled, I told you a dozen times. I told you already. Then sarcastically he added, will ye also be his disciples? This burned them up. Boy, the committee was wild. What'll we do with this fella? Were mad and swish, they threw him out of the church, and he landed in the arms of the Son of God. It says Jesus found him. He always does. Listen, friend, when people or society or even a church organization made up of plain, ordinary, sinful men, listen to me, or your friends, when they cast you out, Jesus will be there ready and waiting to take you in. There came to me this week a 17-year-old boy. He said, I want to go to the King's College, and I just became a Christian, and my parents turned me out, but I do love the Lord. I said, fella, if you really want to go to work and get through school, you're going to have a chance. Yes, sir. A cast out. And that's what happened to this one, and they were saying, how, and he answered it. Then I saw a problem that was materialistic, John 3:4. Nicodemus asked, how can a man be born when he is old? How? He was a university man. He was a materialist. Every effect had to have a cause. You say I must be born again? I answer, how? Who spells how? I used to ask how, but when I came to know the who, the how didn't bother me near so much, and I sat in the classes in university. How? I know this, my friend. that when you come to the end of yourself, your sin, your pride, your self-sufficiency, and see yourself before a holy God, black and vile and deserving of hell, and cry out to Jesus Christ, God's Son, to save you, something will happen, if you're sincere. Something will happen. Yes, sir. You'll be born again. You will be shocked how God will transform you. I wonder if you've reached that place yet. Has God ever lifted the cap off your heart and shown you your sin, your black light before Him? Have you had that? You there by the radio, have you had that? Then lastly, the last how was in Hebrews 2:3, a corner that's inescapable. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How? How do you expect to escape? How? By your own reasoning? By your own ideas? By your own self-sufficiency? By your own conception? Oh, no, no, no. There is no escape from the judgment and hell for any man, you listening? For any man or any woman or child outside of Jesus Christ. Look at that man up there on the 10th floor window. Flames have cut off all his escape. Suddenly a ladder shoots up to the window, but he's afraid. He's afraid to get on the ladder. How will he escape if he neglects? You know, there's no escape. Look at that person being swept down the rapids to the falls. He's lost. Then like a flash, a friend tosses him a life belt and it falls within his grasp, but he fails to take hold. How will he escape if he neglects? You know the answer. Today all avenues of escape for you, my friend, are cut off. You're a doomed soul. Your sin and the scriptures slay you. Dare you neglect? Dare you laugh and be gay? Dare you carelessly drift along your way and allow reason and doubts and hows to stop you from accepting God's way of escape? Even Jesus Christ. I hope not. I hope that you'll come and be saved right now and know the thrill and the joy of having your questions answered. Put your trust in the Son of God and let Him save you. Will you do that? Will you do that there right now, will you? I hope you will.